Have a word on my heart I'd like to share with you today. It's just good to be in the presence of the Lord with you and just very honored to be a part of what the Lord is doing here. Just very honored. Amen. God is good, right? God is good. You know, I was just talking to Brother Jay this morning and just been thinking about what he said. You know, the first touch of God always brings you to your knees. And I said, I feel like I've been living under that first touch for 20 years now. You know, it's just something that never gets easy. To me, preaching never gets easy. I'm not one who's very quick to run to the pulpit. You know, I'm not looking to preach. I'm not looking to teach or anything. Sometimes I'm the Samuel, the Saul who's hiding behind the stuff. But the Lord always has a way of just getting out there when He puts something in your heart. And so I do have something I want to share with you today. And it's not going to be a long word, but I feel like it's something the Lord wants to bring before our hearts today. And before we actually read our text, there's a scripture I want to read together before we actually read our text. Amen. So go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, I want to read verse 12. It says, "And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken." A threefold cord is not quickly broken. You know, I want to just begin by sharing a truth with you that I really love. And because it's a truth that I really love, you've heard me share it from time to time. But I do ask you just to be patient with me because I just need to use it to lay a foundation of what I really feel like the Lord is speaking today. Amen. So I wanted to talk to you. I actually want to talk to you today about strong nets. Strong nets. Go with me to two passages of Scripture, Luke chapter 5 and John chapter 21. Luke chapter 5 and John chapter 21. Luke chapter 5, let's start at verse 3. It says, "Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put a little from the land. And he sat down and talked to people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' And Simon answered, 'Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets.' And when they had done this, they enclosed a great number of fish, and their nets were breaking." And I really want you to look at the last part of verse 6. It says, "And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking." Now go with me to John chapter 21. Verse 4. It says, "Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, 'Children, do you have any fish?' And they answered, 'No.' And he said, 'Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some.' So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said, 'It is the Lord.' When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garments off, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging a net full of fish, for there were not far from the land, about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in a place with fish laid on and bread. And Jesus said, 'Bring some of the fish that you have caught.' So Simon Peter went abroad and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish." Capture that. Full of large fish. 153 of them. And it says, "And although there were so many, the net was not torn." And also, "Although there were so many, the net was not torn." In Luke chapter 5, we find an early miracle in the early ministry of Jesus. And then in John chapter 21, 3.5 years later, after Jesus rose from the dead and right before his ascension, he performs the exact same miracle again. But this time there is a difference. In Luke chapter 5, the nets couldn't contain the fish. In Luke chapter 5, the nets couldn't hold the catch. And they broke. But in John chapter 21, the nets stayed strong. Though the Bible says the nets was filled with great fish, the nets was filled with big fish, the nets was filled with strong fish, the nets stayed strong and unbroken. And in these unbroken nets, Jesus is saying something to his disciples. And this is what he's saying. He's saying, you have a strength in me that you didn't have 3.5 years ago. That 3.5 years ago, we began a journey going from strength to strength to strength. A journey where you begin to die to your strength. A journey where you begin to die to your self-sufficiency. A journey where you began to die to your self-reliance. A journey filled with your own personal failures and fears and weaknesses and humiliations. But through it all, a journey where the strength of God begin to feel your weakness and your insufficiencies. And very soon, when I fill and empower you with my Holy Spirit, you're going to walk in His power and in my strength, and the kingdom of God is going to move through your life. You know, beloved, these nets have a lot to teach us in how God works in our life. And that's what I love so much about these nets. And here's what I feel the Lord put in my heart. Here's just what I feel the Lord put in my heart. You know, many students come here to Summit as Luke chapter 5 nets. And they leave as John 21 nets. In other words, many students, they come to Summit and they just come as feeble, strengthless nets. And yet they leave as strong nets. In other words, many come without the strength to stand in their position in Christ and face the darkness that's required to bring in the harvest. You know, in this generation that we live in, over the harvest fields, there is a tremendous darkness, a very powerful spiritual enemy that dwells over that harvest field. And many students come without a strength to stand in their position in Christ in the harvest field. But yet when they leave Summit, they leave with the strength in the Lord to stand. You know, when many students come to Summit, they come and they just don't have a strength in the Lord yet to stand under the oppression and the opposition and the fear and the power of the enemy. That's how many come. But yet when they leave Summit, they're not only able to stand in the darkness, but they're able to power through the darkness and bring in the harvest. This is a place where God takes many people from a Luke 5 net to a John 21 net, where you can actually go out and catch fish and keep fish and your fruit remains. That's what the Lord does here. Now let me just share with you how the Lord began to speak to me in this area. Back in August, a few weeks before school was to start, you know, I was in my prayer place with God. And I just began to ask God a question, and that question is simply this: God, why am I here? Lord, what is my purpose here? I know I'm called to teach in classes. I know that. I know I'm called to pastor the campus church. I know that. But Lord, really, why am I here? And I don't feel like it's a question coming out of a discontentment in my heart. I just felt like, you know, if I'm going to minister again this coming school year with a passion in my heart, because I'm just a man who loves passion. I love to be very passionate behind the pulpit, in the classroom. I think everyone would tell you I can be passionate. And if I'm going to have a passion in my heart, God, I feel like I just need to be re-envisioned why I'm here. So God, why am I here? And God immediately answered, and this is what he said. He said, Tim, you are a net maker. You may not be out there catching the fish, but you're helping to make strong nets that can catch and contain the fish. In other words, you are here helping to raise up men and women who, in the midst of horrendous darkness, they can stand in their position in Christ and bring in the harvest. You're helping to shape strong Christian character. You are producing spiritual freedom, and many will serve in great freedom and spiritual authority. Their spiritual lives will be strong and impactful. Their spiritual nets will be resilient, and what they harvest, they will keep. Tim, you are a net maker. And beloved, this just isn't my calling. Everyone on staff here at Summit, from the kitchen to the classroom, we are all net makers united together by one spirit with one vision, and we are making nets. In other words, we are molding spiritual lives that can stand in the midst of a terribly darkened generation and bring in the harvest. We're net makers. I'm not actually out there catching the fish, but God is using my life to make the nets that will catch the fish and hold the fish. And they're going to be strong nets. So here's a question I want to ask the student body. If I'm a net maker, then what does that make you? If we here at Summit staff are net makers by the enablement of the Holy Spirit, then what does that make you? You're the net. You're the net. Amen. So we're talking about nets. We're talking about spiritual lives of men and women becoming strong in Christ and gathering the harvest. So here, when I was thinking about this whole concept of making nets, here's the question that came to my mind. When it literally comes to fishing nets, talking about real fishing nets, when it literally comes to real fishing nets, how are nets made strong? Nets are made strong because their strands of cord are intertwined together. Nets are made strong because their strands of cord are interwoven together. And it reminded me of Ecclesiastes 4:12, which says a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Listen, if you ask anyone who's in the Navy who works with ropes, they will tell you when you tie two ropes together, it becomes twice as strong. But when you tie three ropes together, it becomes 10 times as strong. And beloved, here's what I want us to understand. In Ecclesiastes 4:12, these three cords represent something. These three cords, these three strands of ropes represent something. They represent me. They represent God. And they represent the body of Christ. They represent you. They represent God. They represent the body of Christ. You see, no one's called to be an island. No one's called to be sufficient in themselves. No one is called to be self-reliant. We need God, and we need the body of Christ. Beloved, when you bind these three things together, God, me, and the body of Christ, we have this threefold cord bound together, and we become a net that's strong and can't be broken. Now, here's where I'm going with this. I really want to attack a mindset that many people have. And it's a mindset that said, yes, I understand I need God. I understand that. But the Lord says, yeah, you need me, but you got to also understand, you need the body of Christ. You need the body of Christ. You know, that's how God designed His church. You see, when we were born again, God placed us in a redemptive family called the church to transform us. That this redemptive family called the church is a big part of God's plan to transform us into His image. So in other words, what I'm saying is we can't become everything God intends for us to become if we're not plugged into the body of Christ. We can't reach our fullest potential without being plugged into the body of Christ. See, God designed it this way. What we become, we will become together. That's the way He designed it. What you will become together. As one body, as one family. And beloved, this goes against the mindset of many who call themselves by the name of Christ. You know, many have this mindset that says, I know I need God, but I really don't need His body. They'll tell you the reason why I don't go to church is because I have God and I don't really need to go to church. And many others, you know, they're not plugged into the body simply because they don't want to be under authority. And many others aren't plugged into the body because they don't like having to learn how to love and deal with people and walk in patience and forgiveness and long-suffering with one another. I just don't want to go just do all this deal with people kind of stuff. Many who call themselves by the name of Christ have so many reasons why not to be a part of his body. But again, beloved, as Christians, we are created to need the body of Christ if we are going to grow and become all that God wants us to become. You know, what we become together. Now, here's what I'm saying, just real simple in a nutshell. Again, nobody's called to be sufficient in themselves. Nobody's called to be strong in themselves. We need God, and we need the body of Christ. Amen. And here's where I'm going with this. Now, I said all that to say this. I mean, here's really my point. God is going to go after every area in our life that is self-sufficient. God is going to go after every area in our life that says, I'm capable to do this in myself. God's going to go after every area in our life that those places in our life where we're still looking to our own strength and trusting in our own strength and leaning in our own strength, those places in our life where we say, I'm capable. God is going to go after those places in our life. Every place where we are self-sufficient, he says, I'm going to draw a bullseye around that place. And I'm coming after it. Amen. Are you with me today? Let me ask a question here. What is brokenness? And I'm not talking about the bad kind of brokenness. I'm talking about the good kind of brokenness. I'm talking about the God kind of brokenness. I'm talking about brokenness when it's actually the hand of God reaching deep into your life, that gracious hand of God, and he's the one who's breaking and he's the one who's making. What is brokenness? Well, there's a few good definitions, but here's my favorite. Brokenness is God dealing with every place of independence in my life. That God has purposed to bring every area of our life in complete dependence upon him. Beloved, God draws a bullseye around every area of our life that we live in independence, and God begins to bring those places of independence into dependence upon him. Understand, brokenness is God's way in dealing with the self-life. The self-life being those places in my life where I am self-reliant and I really don't see my need for his strength and I really don't see my need for his sufficiency. Beloved, this is just something that the Lord has showed me. His power can't work in its fullness in those places where I'm just self-sufficient. His power might can work in a measure. But if it's going to work in its fullness, it just can't work in places of my self-sufficiency. And so, there's not one area in our life where God doesn't want to bring us from self-reliant to God-reliant. There's not an area in our life where God doesn't want to bring us from self-sufficiency to God-sufficiency. There's not one area in our life where God doesn't want to bring us from self-dependence to God-dependence. God wants complete dependence upon him in every area of our life because this is the only place where we experience the fullness of his supernatural power and blessing in our life. So the question I then have to ask is, what aspects of your life or what areas in your life do you feel strong and self-sufficient and self-reliant? You know, what are those areas in my life where I still feel capable in my strength? What are those places in my life where I feel strong and even without the strength of the Lord, I can do this? Where are those places? I think we all have them. And the Lord says, listen, if my power is going to work in its fullness, I have to draw a bullseye And even in these places, I have to bring you from self-sufficiency to God-sufficiency, where your reliance isn't on your strength and it's not on your capability, but your reliance is totally upon the Lord. Amen. And we see a powerful illustration of this in the Gospels. I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 14. Look with me at verse 22. It said, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up out of the mountain by himself to pray. When evening was come, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the winds were against him. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I, don't be afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took him, saying unto him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly this is the Son of God. So in this story, Jesus tells the disciples to get into the boat and go to the other side. And what I want us to understand is at least six of these men are fishermen. You know, they lived on the sea all their lives. They've sailed the waters all their lives. And here's what I want you to understand. Before they ever met Jesus, they sailed upon these waters hundreds of times. Before they ever met Jesus, they had found their strength sufficient to hoist the sails and row the oars. They found their strength sufficient to sail back and forth across the sea. They were doing these things long before they met Jesus. So when it came to sailing upon the waters, they were very self-sufficient in sailing upon the waters. They could do it in their sleep. And I believe with all my heart, when Jesus told the disciples, get into the boat and sail across to the other side, very easily it could have came into their mind, get into the boat and sail to the other side. Oh, we can do that. We've been doing that all our life. Jesus, we've been doing that long before we ever met you. Before we even saw you, before we even heard your name, hundreds of times we got into the boat and we sailed across, back across the sea. Jesus, this is just one place. Excuse me, Jesus. This is just one place. We don't need your help. And beloved, understand, when the disciples began following Jesus, there was some things they saw very quickly where they needed his help. They needed his supernatural power. When it came to feeding the 5,000 with a few loaves and fish, when it came to healing the blind and the leper, they really saw their need for supernatural power. But yet when it came to sailing their boats on the water, that was just one area they really didn't see their need for his help. After all, we've done it 100 times before. But Jesus is about to teach them a lesson. Jesus is about to transform their lives. See, the disciples are about to learn through a storm. They're about to learn through a storm. Places where my own strength was self-sufficient, it isn't sufficient anymore. Places where my own strength was adequate, it's not adequate anymore. You see, when this storm hit, the disciples realized, though I've sailed these waters hundreds of times before, suddenly this is so much bigger than me. Suddenly this is so much stronger than me. This is something so much more powerful than my human strength. On these waters, I have never encountered a storm this size, and it's in this place where my own strength has always been sufficient. It's not sufficient anymore. Beloved, we're going to get to the good news in a minute. Smile at me. Please smile at me. Smile at me. Smile at me before I go to Walmart and buy a great big mirror and put it right here so you can look at what I'm looking at. Smile at me. Here's my point. In places where our own strength and abilities have always seemed sufficient, there will be times God will allow something so much bigger and stronger than we are to invade these places. And even in these places, we are going to have to find our sufficiency in God. And it's not a one-time storm. God will keep allowing something bigger and stronger than we are to invade these places of self-reliance until we come to the place where, whether stormy skies or clear skies, my sufficiency is in Christ. These places where we feel strong and we feel capable and we feel like I got this, we feel self-sufficient, God's going to allow storm and storm and storm until we come to a place, whether it's clear skies or stormy skies, my strength is in the Lord. He wants every area of self-sufficiency in our life. He wants every area of self-capability in our life. And in those places we feel strong and we feel capable and we feel adequate, God's going to release storm. He's going to release trial until we come to a place where, whether it's stormy skies, clear skies, my strength is in the Lord. Amen. And going back to our story, here's the bottom line. I know Peter stepped out of the boat and I know he sank. But Jesus stretched his hand out and lifted him up. And here's the bottom line. It's in the storms that in those places where we always felt self-capable that God begins to lift us up in the power of his word. It's in those storms where we always felt self-sufficient and self-reliant that God is going to begin to lift us up in his strength. And it's in these places where we have now became God-reliant and God-dependent that we're going to see the fullness of his power at work in our lives. I want you to capture that thought. You know, I just, did a whole 20 minutes? I can really sum it up in 1 minute. And it's simply this, those places where you feel strong, those places where you feel capable, those places that we feel sufficient in ourselves. The Lord says, if you're going to be that strong net, even in those places, you've got to learn to find your strength in God. So those places you feel strong and you feel self-sufficient and you feel self-capable, I'm going to allow something bigger and stronger than you are in those places. And you're going to have to begin to lift your eyes off yourself and lift them on my strength and look to my strength. And the storms won't last, but the strength you found in God will last. And you will be that fishing net because you're not self-sufficient. You're not self-reliant. Your strength is me. And the strength you will find in me through the body of Christ. That's where your strength will come from. And you will be those strong nets. Amen. Now there is a prayer on my heart. There's a prayer on my heart. I want you to go with me to Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah chapter 64. You know, I was going to have an altar call, but instead of an altar call, can I just get the worship team to come up here? Worship team, can you please come back up? Instead of an altar call, I just want to have a moment of what I'm going to call prayer worship. Just a moment of worship and praying. And here's what's in my heart. Look with me at Isaiah chapter 64. Look with me at verse 8. It says, "But now, O Lord, you are my Father, And we are the clay and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hands. And the reason why I chose this passage of scripture, because I know what I shared can sometimes sound frightening. Pastor Tim, that sounds frightening. You mean in places where I've always felt strong and capable, God's going to allow something in my life that's bigger than me and stronger than me? Something that if I don't have his help, I'm going to sink. Pastor Tim, that sounds frightening. It sounds frightening. I know it's necessary. If I'm going to be that God-sufficient man, that God-sufficient woman, if I'm going to be that strong net that's intertwined with God and intertwined with his body, if I'm going to be that strong net, I know God has to allow that in my life. Places where I'm strong, places where I'm capable. Them are the places he's going to go after. That can sound frightening. But here's what I want you to understand. Isaiah 64 verse 8 tells us that the hands that are wrapped around our life are our Father's hands. It says, you are my Father, and I am the clay, and you're the potter. And what I sense the Lord saying is, it's the hands of your Father that's reaching deep down into your life and it's breaking and making. And because it's the hands of your Father, you can trust these hands. You don't have to be afraid of these hands. You don't have to fear these hands. When I reach deep down into your life and I really begin to go after those areas in your life of self-capability, you can trust these hands. And I want you to stand with me this morning. And as we both worship and pray, this is the prayer that I feel the Lord is asking from us this morning. Would you trust my hands? When I want to reach down into deep places of your life and break you so I can make you. When I want to reach down into the deep places of your life and really make you weak so I can be strong. When I want to press you into such places of weakness so that my strength can be glorified in you, would you trust my hands that I am your Father and I know what I'm doing and I'm doing a good work? Psalm 18, a verse that I love. You've heard me say it many times. It's the gentleness of God that make men great. That God's power to make great men and women of God is in his gentleness. And no matter how far he reaches, he's going to reach deep. He's saying, will you trust my hands? Let's commit our lives to his hands again. God, whatever you have to do in my life, do it. Whatever places of brokenness, whatever things in my life need to be broken, God, I commit my heart to your hands. Because I trust your hands. God, whatever you need to do in my life to make me that strong net, to bring me from self-sufficiency to God's sufficiency, God, do it. And I'm not afraid because I know it's my Father's hands. God, I commit my life to my Father's hands, to the working of my Father's hands. Amen. Let's just take a few minutes to worship the Lord. And one more time, let's just commit our lives to the hand of God and just let him work in our lives this morning. Lord, I just thank you, God, that, Lord, you are making strong nets here, God. Lord, there is a horrendous darkness over the harvest field, a horrendous oppression of the enemy, God. But, Lord, you are raising up a people who can stand in the strength of God. Lord, you're raising up a people who not can only stand under the darkness, but move through the darkness. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against them, God, as they reap this harvest, God. Lord, I thank you. Lord, you know how to do a quick work, but a thorough work. I thank you that many are coming in as a Luke 5 net. But Lord, they're leaving as a John 21 net. God, they're leaving with a strength in Christ. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, when many come to this school, they begin a journey. And it's a journey from going strength to strength. It's a journey to dying to our own self-sufficiency and our own self-reliance and our own self-capability and finding our capability in Christ and finding our capability and the strength of God. I thank you for that, God. And it's not an easy journey. God, it comes with a lot of failure. It comes with a lot of fears. It comes with a lot of weakness. But God, ultimately, it is a journey where we learn to find our sufficiency in Christ. And God, you never let us sink so far down that your hand doesn't lift us up. God, we learn to walk in your strength. We learn to walk in the power of your word. When Peter said, if it's you, Lord, bid me come, Jesus, you spoke your word and said, come. That Peter didn't walk upon the water. He walked upon the word of God. And God, we're learning how to walk upon the word of God. We're learning how to find our strength in the word of God. We're learning how to push through, press on, and persevere in the power of the Word of God. And I thank you for that, God. Lord, I thank you, Lord. I thank you for just, Lord, all the other staff that are here. God, we are united together in one vision and one spirit, and that is to be used by God to make strong nets. God, to make a people who can stand in the strength of the Lord. And I thank you for that, God. Lord, I thank you that we can trust your hands. God, in places where we feel like we're strong, you're going to draw a bullseye around it. Places where we feel like we are self-capable, you're going to draw a bullseye around it. Places that we are self-reliant, you're going to draw a bullseye around it. And God, even in self-dependent, you're going to bring us into God-dependence. And in self-reliance, you're going to bring us into God-reliance. And we're going to find an incredible strength in the Lord. And I thank you for that, God. Father, I thank you that this is a, I don't know if it's called such a thing, but we're going to call it, this is a net making place. It's a place that can not only catch fish, but it can hold fish. It's not only a place that can catch fish, but the fruit will remain. Because there's a strength in God that you've worked within our lives. And I thank you for that, God, with all my heart. I thank you for God. And I just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I don't want to break what the Spirit's doing here. But He's faithful. Can we just give Jesus a clap of praise?